God cares passionately about the issues of poverty and justice, a concern for the poor and an emphasis on just and fair behaviour flows through the Bible. It underpins the laws of the Old Testament, can be heard through the words of the prophets, and forms a core part of all that Jesus said and did. It should also shape the lives and behaviour of those who follow Jesus Christ. You may not know this, but in the Bible, the word poverty is mentioned 2,100 times. This poverty not only refers to the poor, but to the spiritually poor, the morally poor, and the emotionally poor. Throughout the mission trip, we encountered those who were poor in a material sense. Some of them had been robbed of the ability to make choices for themselves, the choice of safe and clean water, of safe and clean water and food, the choice of an education, the choice of protection from abuse, the choice of medical care, and others. Others were spiritually poor, having never heard or experienced the love of Jesus Christ in their lives, the one who came to set the captives free. Jesus said in Matthew, "People can't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." To put it simply, it is not enough for people to have the ability to live. They must also need a reason for living. Part of our trip was to show people that there is a reason for living. And the reason for living is through Jesus Christ and by having a personal relationship with him, to know him intimately so that we can be set free. Our motto for the trip was to be a blessing and not a burden. And so our aim as we went forward into these communities was to bless them and to share the blessings that we've been given in this country with those over there.
We thought we'd just give you a little bit of a rundown as to what we did do, so that when everyone comes up to share, you have a little bit of a framework. So some of you may know that Scott and I have been involved with different activities in Thailand for about the last 10 years. And for us it was really exciting to be able to return not just on our own, but to take 10 other people with us. We began the trip in Chiang Rai, which is in northern Thailand. And on our first day, everyone went to the Mekong Minority Foundation's office. And the director there, Scott Coates, was able to give everyone a question and answer time and an information time about Christian work in Thailand and about his mission work with the various hill tribe peoples. And he has been living and working in Thailand for the past 30 years. So that was a great way for the team to get an overall picture as to what work has been happening in Thailand. On that day, we also visited a Hmong village at Phu Chi Pha, and we were able to distribute blankets and beanies and jumpers to the people within the church there, and also leave them with blankets and jumpers so that they could give them as presents during their Christmas outreach to other poor people in the village. And a special thanks to Doreen for doing many blankets and getting many of you doing blankets as well. And on that note, if anyone has wool and you would like to, and you don't know what to do with it, Doreen would love some wool, okay, so that she can continue doing those blankets. Also in that village, we were able to build 2 4-level water tanks so that the village would then have access to clean water.
As before we went on the trip, we made a commitment to tithe part of our luggage allowance, and so everyone did that. And as a consequence, we were able to take 120 kilograms of blankets and jumpers and beanies to the people and to the communities we went to that Chrissy mentioned. We also did an English camp at a Burmese refugee school in Chiang Rai. The children were aged 4 to 13, and because they are legal immigrants in Thailand, they're actually not allowed to go to a Thai school. And so they have a special school that we went to and helped out for a day. And for many of us on the trip, this proved to be one of the most special days of the whole trip. As an aside, you know, we were amazed at just these children and their desire to learn, and also the staff that care for them at this facility. Some of the kids, are in, if they weren't at this school, would be in danger of being trafficked into the sex industry in Thailand. Others would be exploited and made to work as children. And others are just at risk because of where their families live. They often live beside rivers, and these children are at enormous risk of drowning or other harm, being burnt in fires and so forth. They study maths, Thai language, the Burmese language and English, music and the Bible. We also visited a Burmese migrant church on the Mekong River that seeks to reach out and show love to used and abused Burmese migrant workers in Thailand.
From there, we travelled over the mountains back to our old hometown of Tawang Pa, which is in Nan province. And there we went to the Hmong student dormitory that is run by Ajahn Banya and his family. So whilst we were there, we were able to paint the inside of the church. We also did another English camp program with singing and craft activities with the children. We were able to cook for 80 people for a Christmas celebration evening, and we did a nativity play and sang carols by candlelight with the church as a way of celebrating the birth of Jesus and also reaching out to their Hmong community as well. So we would like to thank you all for your prayers. Throughout the whole trip, not one of us got sick, and through all our travelling, we had no problems with cars or any other incidents. So thank you very much for praying for us.
And we travelled through six provinces in the north of Thailand, and all up we drove 2,000 kilometres during the trip. So it was a huge drive and a huge amount of area to cover. But to give you some idea of what we did, we've got a film that Andre Wong has prepared to show some of the experiences that we had. So hopefully this is set up and we'll be able to see now.
Thank you.
It's actually still quite emotional just watching that, but I'll try not to cry. One thing that we were amazed with before we went was the generosity from people, and I think you would have seen the shirts that the children were wearing. The kids at U-Time made those shirts for us to take to give to the kids at the dormitory where the Hmong kids live. The other thing is that also through the generosity of people at this church, but also a number of other churches that support Chrissy and my help ministry that we work with in Thailand, we were actually able to give $10,000 to the ministries in Thailand while we were there. And we were amazed, I think, just at the fact that we were part of answered prayer. And we went to there was one church there, you would have seen that, the Chang Sen Church. And we turned up and we said to the pastor, "What are your needs?" And he said, "We've been praying for our Christmas outreach service, and we just want to reach out to our community and share the love of Jesus at Christmas." And we said, "Well, what have you got planned?" And he said, "We want to cook for our community, and we want to provide them with food because so many of them don't have food." And we said, "Well, what's your budget?" And he said, 10,000 baht, which is about 330 Australian dollars. And I said, "How much do you have?" And he said, "Nothing." And we were able to give him the entire budget for that evening. And he said, "You are the answer to our prayers." And it's amazing how God can send people from one part of the world to another part of the world as an answer to a faithful brother or sister in Christ's prayers. But that is the wonder, and that is the amazing part of God's kingdom that we are all a part of. And for us, it was exciting to feel that experience, that we are an answered prayer. We're not just some group of people from a church in Brisbane, but God has actually sent us here to answer these people's prayers. This morning, you're going to hear some testimonies from the people that came. The first one is going to be Brenny, and Brenny's just going to share what God has laid on her heart, but also how she came to the Lord and what God is doing now.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Brenny. For those who do not know me, I am Pastor On's wife. You don't see me very often on this side of the role, because every Sunday I'm supporting on the other side at the youth ministry. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of testimony, first of all, of how I came to the Lord, and then how the Thailand trip affected me personally. So I've been studying the Bible ever since I was in primary school, because I went to a church-run school, and I learned Bible stories and memorized the Lord's Prayer and, you know, everything that, you know, has to do with the Bible. But really, the Bible has nothing relevance to my life. Like, it does not affect how I live. And when I was in uni, I started thinking about life. Where do we all come from? Why are we here? And where do we go after death? Being a science major, I put my trust in science, thinking that it would give me all the answers. But I was frustrated, really, at how the theories in science kept changing all the time. And I didn't know what to believe anymore. And then I read a book about how some scientists in the past forged their data to justify their biased theories in research. And then I started to question the objectiveness and authority of science. And my search for truth began. And just about that time, a friend of mine invited me to her church. And I went just for fun, because I love kids and I was involved in the children's Sunday school. But the pastor's sermons really prompted me to think about God's relevance in my life. I started to pray before going to bed, kneeling beside my bedside, just like, you know, what I saw in the movies. And I really didn't know who I was talking to, but I said, God, if you are real, if you are the real God, the creator, like, you know, the one that I've learned in church, let me know. Help me know for sure that the message in the Bible is true, that I can trust in you. And I've been praying after, you know, a couple of weeks, and, you know, throughout that time, this urge inside my heart to invite Jesus into my heart became stronger and stronger. I have this this conviction in my heart that he is the real God, that I need him in my life. And so one Sunday after the service, I just ran up to the pastor and said, I want to be baptized. And the pastor said, oh, hang on, hold your horses. Baptism is only an expression of one's decision to follow, an expression of one's faith after one has decided to follow Jesus. And so he said, you need to figure out whether you really are inviting Jesus into your heart. Do you believe him as your Lord and Savior? And so he prayed with me, and I invited Jesus into my heart. And that was the best thing I've ever done in my life. And that was the most important decision I've made. And so after that, I really felt a sense of peace in my heart like I've never experienced before. And so I've been a Christian for over 20 years. I have to tell you, be honest, it hasn't been easy. It has a lot of challenges and heartache and frustration. But serving God, really, he has shown me how real he is. And I've served him in various ministries. And by his grace, you know, he has shown me every step that I need to take to glorify his name. God has been trustworthy and faithful in all areas of my life. And so last year, I went to Thailand with the mission team to learn how I can be involved in the work of bringing the gospel to the world. It was an eye-opening experience, and it helped me to refocus my desire to serve him and which ministry he is calling me to. We've met a lot of people during the trip, many of them truly inspirational in their humility and perseverance in serving God and others. The MMF staff, the Mekong Minority Foundation people, the Burmese school teacher, Ajahn Banya, whom you've heard so much, he had been running that dormitory for the Hmong children for over 30 years. That's faithfulness and perseverance in the Lord. And also his son, who is the house parent of the dormitory. These people devote their lives in serving others, and in order to bring, they serve others in order to bring the gospel to them. They are putting God's word into practice. This morning, I reflect on the Word of God in James chapter 1, 27. It says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So by the grace of God, I will continue to support their work, the people's work in Thailand, through prayer and financial support. Because, again, the Lord's Word says in James chapter 4, verse 11, "Anyone who knows the good one ought to do and doesn't do it sins. I know what good work He has called me to do, and I am challenging myself to do it and to continue that good work." I really would like to challenge you too, that if you know that this is a good work, that you too will do something about it. If you want to find out a bit more about service to Thailand or how to support the Thailand ministry, feel free to talk to Scott and Chrissy after the service, because they are the people to talk to if you want to support this good work. For myself, God has called me to something very challenging. I won't share with you right now what's going on, but watch this space.
As part of the preparation process for the mission trip, everyone who went had to write their testimony to be prepared to share it with those who we met. And that was what Brenny did this morning, was the testimony that she'd prepared in advance. While we were in Thailand, we had a debrief session in Chiang Mai after we'd, I guess, done the hard work. And the debrief was a time where we sat down and reflected on what God had actually taught us. And I guess it's very easy to have an emotional response during that time, but we wanted to make some firm commitments, and we wanted to hold each other accountable to some of the things that God was challenging us to do. One of them, of course, was to pray. And this morning, we're going to have Pat, Andre and Alina share how they're praying since they've come home. So over to Pat.
You would have heard quite a bit about the name MMF being mentioned. That's Mekong Minority Foundation. They're a group of people who work with the minority groups, of which there are about 6 or 7 in the northern Thailand. And one of the groups, of course, is our Hmong friends. On the slide, you would see Scott and his family on my right, on this side of it. And Scott was the director of MMF for a few years. But as with the aim of MMF, they wanted to equip and train the local people. And so he has now stepped back and handed over the role of director to Nit, who is the young lady on the left-hand side with her family. Nit is one of those who have grown up and sent on a scholarship and became a Christian, all under the auspices of MMF, and she has come back to serve them. And Ja, one of the other men that you have seen in the slide, he was one of the first boy who stayed in Ajahn Banya's dormitory about 30 over years ago. And he has grown up, served in MMF, and now he's going to lead and head the projects of the Hmong churches and the dormitory. So you could see that the work of MMF is actually to equip and to train the Hue tribe people so that they can serve their own communities. And this to us was very important, because we see that the best people to minister to the minority groups are their own people. And Nit herself is a Mien lady, or in the Chinese we know them as Yao, from Yunnan. Okay, so we would like to pray for MMF, for the work that they continue to do. They don't just give money because they don't have money. They are supported by donations. But what they do is they liaise between churches or donors and the various groups, such as dormitory, the churches, other work that's being done with the minority group. It is a huge task. Some of the people have devoted probably their whole life and the rest of their life to the mission, and some of them have devoted years and they are leaving and coming, but it is a job that we are seeing that has produced result in Northern Thailand. So I would urge that if this is something that you are interested in finding out more about, please talk to us and Scott, but do remember them in prayer. They are working among great opposition and also things like shamanism and so on among the tribal people, right?
So one of the places we visited was the Burmese school. Because Thailand is growing so rapidly, a lot of Burmese move across the border to Thailand to work. And Thailand accepts the whole family into the country, not just the person who is working. However, the children are not allowed to enter into Thai schools. That's why this school was founded, to help give the children an education. It teaches in both Thai and Burmese, because although they might stay in Thailand for a while, their family might move back to Burma if work cannot be found. Because the school is not an official Thai school, even if the children graduate, they will be not given any recognition of their education. And one of the things we noticed about the children was how much they ate. At lunch they were given a huge pile of rice and vegetables, and even the youngest of children went back for seconds. And Scott told us that this was because this was probably the only meal they would have for the day. The school is currently funded by Tier Fund, and we were told that they would be ending their funding for the school this year. So we need to pray for funding for the school, and also the teacher and the cook there, and also for Pichai, who works with MMF but also helps support the Burmese community in Thailand, and also pray for the children's education and health.
One of the places that has been in my prayer point since coming back is for the Hmong dormitory. Just a brief overview of what the Hmong dormitory is. It's a Christian home to about 22 Hmong children who are from the villages around Ta Wangpa in the Nam province. So it was first set up in 1978 by Anjan Banyar, who saw the desperate need of, you know, an education for the children up in the villages who didn't have access in any other way to go to school. And so in 1978, he had climbed up all the mountains by himself during the wars and knocking on people's doors and asking the parents if they would allow, you know, their children to come and live down at Ta Wangpa and go to school from there. And so since then, there's been Hmong children come in and out as well. At the moment, they've got about 22 children. And living in the dorm enables the children to have a good health, be transported to school, have daily meals, and most importantly, they have an opportunity to know who God is. Before I go into the prayer points, I just want to praise God for a few things regarding this ministry. Just the actual existence of this ministry, for all those people at the moment helping out, keeping this ministry running, and all for all the kind hearts and generosity of the children that we met over there. And also recently, since we've come back, they were building a new girls' dormitory, and so they've just put up the electricity for that, so praise the Lord for that. And also, since we've been back as well, they have installed a new water system there so they can have access to clean water, which is pumped from the other villages as well. And my first prayer point is praying for the children so that they can grow spiritually, and also that they'll be able to excel in their education. At the moment, they have daily Bible studies with Anjan Banya, and they are asked to memorize a different verse every week. So in 1 year, they'll be able to memorize 52. At the moment also, they actually have very realistic ideas of what they want to become when they're older, and they have, they have realistic ideas. Many that I actually asked said that they wanted to become missionaries. And so some of the older ones at the moment who have asked Anjan Banya, he's actually organising Bible college for them at the moment. And so just pray that they'll be able to have all the needs for that. Some of them actually have a vision to become both a missionary and a doctor in their villages, and so praise the Lord for that as well. And just keep praying also that they'll be able to keep having this strong passion to serve the Lord, and also that the younger ones can look up to the older ones. Praise God for the gifts that the children have as well. A lot of them actually at the top of their classes. Some are even the top of their whole province. And so praise for that. Praise God for that. And also keep them in prayer that they'll always excel in their school as well. And because of this dormitory, the children are actually able to recognise their abilities and excel in school, and one day be able to change the world around them. So just keep praying for good education, that they'll be able to use their skills to honour God. And also pray for the new children that will be joining the dormitory this year. And secondly, pray for them to have enough resources. They're actually reaching the maximum capacity at the moment, and they already had very limited resources. So this year, with a lot of new children coming in, their resources will be very, very limited. And this also includes food. So pray that all their resources will be provided for. And thirdly, pray for Anjan Banya, who is overlooking everything, and also for the new house parents that they're actually currently seeking. Praise God for the faithfulness of Anjan Banya and his humbleness to everyone. Pray that he will always have good health and will always be provided for. Pray for wisdom and guidance in all that he is currently planning and involved in, such as organising Bible colleges for the children and also the enrolment of new children. Pray that the new house parents that they find will be humble and loving, and that they'll love the children just the same as the other parents did. Also pray for energy to keep up with the children, because they're very energetic. And also pray that all their needs will be provided for as well.
So we've actually got some prayer points there, and we'd actually like to take a little break in the service and break the room, I guess, up into three lots and just take a couple of minutes. So the blue MMF ones, if you could sort of just draw a line here, and if you could just take a moment just in your chair to pray some of the things that we've talked about for MMF. The orange prayer points down the middle here and the purple ones over here. So just take some time, but it's interesting for us. Ja, who we worked with for 2 years in Nan while we were there, we were talking to him when we were in his village, and I noticed that one of his brothers wasn't there. And I said to Ja, "Oh, where's your brother?" And Ja said, "He's been trafficked." And Ja's been working against trafficking. His family, he told them about trafficking, and yet in spite of the warnings, his brother's now trapped in a shipping container in South Korea. And he'd actually rung in tears and said, "I don't think I can survive any longer," while we were there. So I guess it shows the nature of trafficking. It shows that even when people are informed, they're often still affected by it. And it should bring it to the forefront of our minds that these people are highly at risk in the communities that they live. So just a couple of moments for some silent prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the ministries that we've heard about this morning. Lord, we thank you for these servants of yours who have gone to the edge to serve you, to follow you, to obey you, and to make their life count. Lord, we pray that you would meet their needs in the various ways that we've heard this morning. We pray that you'd provide for them. We pray that you would encourage them. And we pray that you would protect them, Lord, often in the dangerous work that they do, under the covering and covenant of your blood. May you just strengthen them day by day, protect them from the hand of the enemy, and continue to use and bless these ministries. We pray in Jesus' name. One of the other commitments we made during our debrief in Chiang Mai was to write a letter. So often we say, oh, that person inspires me, let me finish the dishes. Oh, that person inspires me, oh, my car just broke down. But we don't actually follow it up with an encouraging word. And so we actually sat down and we said, okay, on this trip, who were the people or the person that inspired you the most? And we all nominated someone in our quiet reflection, and then we committed to write a letter to that person to tell them how that impacted our lives during the trip. And this morning, Lisa is going to share her letter from the trip.
Hello. Okay, so the photo up there, I think, I can't see that far. I think it's of the children at the Burmese school. They did inspire me too, but my letter today is to the children at Ajahn Banyas Dormitory, who Alina was talking about earlier. So here it is. To the students at Ajahn Banyas Dormitory, thank you for allowing us to spend a few days with you guys. I have been looking forward to visiting you guys for so long, so to finally get to do that was fantastic. I just want to let you all know what an inspiration you have been to me. One of my favorite moments of the time we spent together was when you guys were singing worship songs. I didn't understand a single word you sang, but the sound of your singing was amazing. Normally you guys are so quiet, but when you were singing to God, you were so loud. It gave me goosebumps. The sounds you made were beautiful, and I could hear the singing was from your hearts. When I listened to you guys sing, I just wanted to shout to God, shout with joy to God and thank him for all of you. Your singing is a good reminder to me that singing worship songs should come from the heart and not the mouth. It was also wonderful to see the love, care and respect you showed to each other. Even though you guys come from different families and villages, it was great seeing you guys treat each other like brothers and sisters. During the last night we were with you, one of you mentioned that people look down on you guys because you're Hmong and that you don't have much. Well, I know that God doesn't look down on you and that he loves you. You're all amazing and special in his eyes. I pray that the teachers and other students at your schools and people in your villages and communities will see the love of Christ that is in you and be inspired by you like I have been. From Lisa.
We were also very blessed to have 5 Hmong folks on the trip, which means they can have a direct line of communication with a lot of the people that we were meeting. And this morning, Kerr is going to sing a song. And the team was incredibly talented, and Kerr actually wrote this song. And she's going to sing this song that she sang for the Hmong congregation. And we've translated it into English so that you can follow the words. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. My name is Kerr, and I thank you, the Lord. My language is not good enough, but I told about, I thank you, the Lord. The first time to Thailand to a missionary trip, and I went to Thailand. I saw a lot of people. They very poor, but they don't know about God. I saw a lot of people. They pray about Buddha. When I saw the Buddha, I cry a lot.
I said in my heart, I thought, why the people blind and not see the God love. And when I saw the Buddha, I saw the poor people, I love them. And in Thailand, not many church, just go far, very far away, just saw one church. And when I go to the, I saw the church, I'm very happy. I thought, oh God, there. Yeah. And I very, very sad in my heart. I thought I still in Thailand or Laos, I still send them because they don't know God about God. Lucky God bring me to here. I'm very, very happy to God. And I got many song about God gave me song. When God told me, God said, come on and write my song. And because God said, if you got a new song, you have to sing the new song. God very happy. And God give me many song. And when I don't understand, but I write the song first, I have to look into the Bible. Yeah. And I'm not very sure. I go to look at the Bible. And the Bible till said, I make sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And this song is that means when Jesus still with us long time ago, and the people follow a lot people to follow Jesus, and I think I seen the monk song, but my daughter Elena explained the English in there, and you had to look. Sorry, I get very old and my wife is not good, but don't listen my wife, but you just listen to God's word. Okay. And sorry. Tawa Yesu Chenyo Chendo Penya Nu Jo Su Tu Neng Nyo Wambo Tu Chu Yesu Wayo Tu Chu Shen Da Chi Yo Kho Chen Tia Khiya Tso Va Yesu Kilo Yesu Hai Tia Ku Yo Lu Te Muan Tao Leng Tu Di Mo Chi Pa Ku Tso Kilo Yo Mo Du Ta Te Ke Na Mo Ke Pla Tua Yo Mo La Yeri Tia Si Xie La Che Go La La Nya Hau Ni Tua Tu Lu Xie Shang Tu Ya Chau Tao Rang Nya Ka Xie Lu Mo Yi Chi Tao Tu Ya Ni Sa Tao Ki Pa Mu Chau Ni Tao Xie Jane Tsai Te Tao Gu Yang Yua Pa Ni Chi Tsa Tsai Gu Cheng Da Ni Nyang Da Na Gu Yua Kli Chong Tu Chong Ni Tsua Tu Mu Nyang Kha Chau Tao Yang Mu Li Yi Chi Thank you, the Lord.
Okay, to finish off This morning we're going to have two testimonies. The first will be by Alex, and the second will be by Meng. So I hand it over to Alex.
Hey guys, I'm from the New Time and Hmong congregation, and my reason for coming on the mission trip was to achieve a better relationship with God, and also I wanted to know more about our cultural background and where we came from before we came to Australia. Some of the highlights for me was the Burmese school. The school age ranged from 3 to 12 year old. And as you heard, many of them have only one meal a day. And usually that's when they're at school. Because their parents are immigrants. And when they move into Thailand, they will have to. It was hard for them to look for jobs. And like, even if they find jobs, they earn like very little. My second highlight was the Hmong dormitory. I was able to see Ajang Panya ministry with the Hmong youth. While we were there, we helped paint the dorm, and surprisingly, we found out it was the first time that building was decorated in 30 years. For them, they only had enough money to survive and provide food each day for the kids. Also, during the time at the dormitory, we also organized a Christmas event for the kids. Before the Christmas performance, we prepared food for the people. It really touched them when I overheard a little boy yell out that he didn't want us to leave them, and he wanted us to stay with them because for them they didn't really had the food that we prepared for them to eat. What we prepared was roast chicken, laksa soup, and just fried noodles and soft drink. For them it was usually if they had like New Year event that I would have this kind of food. But the thing that hit me the most was the second day when we were at the dormitory, the night before I prayed to God that if it is His will that He will use me to help women in ministry. And during that day, Ja, who was one of the Hmong people who was helping the MMF, he actually came up to Scott and asked for some of the Hmong people to help him to translate the Bible in one of the villages. And for me, they chose me and Fiona to go and help, and it seemed like God just answered my call. And like when we went up to the village, we help them understand the Bible more, and they have like this they have like a pastor there who will help weekly teach them the Bible and what some of the Bible words means. And many of them couldn't understand the pastor Mike because he was from America and he only speak English, and they all depended on Ja to translate. But the problem was Ja couldn't speak much English, so he only understood a little bit. And the second problem was many of the Hmong Christian there, they wasn't able to even read Hmong, so it was really hard for them. So I really feel very honored to be there and be able to do someone God worked for him. And after I came back from the trip, I became stronger in Christ. And that's all I have.
Hey guys, my name's Meng. I'm from the Hmong congregation in New Time. Everything I experienced on the mission trip all impacted me, but the one I remember was the Burmese school in Chiang Rai. I went to visit for half the day. The Burmese children who attended the school range from toddlers to early teenagers. These children do not attend Thai school as they don't have a Thai citizen certificate, which gives them the right to go to school to have a proper education.
The right of an education is one of the many things that they don't have a chance to have in Thailand. On the day we visited the school, there were about 20 children, but the numbers would usually vary. The Burmese children have a very high chance of being trafficked, and the reason for this is the parents would be out working dangerous jobs and would leave their children at home, and the traffickers would know where they live and simply come and take them away. We were told the children only ate one meal a day, and that meal would be at school because the parents would not be able to afford food on the table. I remember Scott telling us this while the children were eating, and when we ate after them, I did not feel hungry. I wanted to starve so these children could eat my lunch and have two meals instead of one. Seeing the teacher, the Burmese teacher, was so inspirational for me. Her love, care, patience and humbleness towards these children were encouraging because it showed me that even though we were in a place that was so dark, there was light and hope. I'm a registered nurse, but sometimes I think to myself, why am I a nurse? And then I think I did it for a reason. I enjoy working with children, but the thing is, I don't really enjoy working with children in this country. In this, you know, this, it's true because I've seen in this wealthy country people demand everything on a silver platter and they expect it right now, and I don't think they see how lucky that they are that they can even access medical care. After going on the mission trip and seeing the lack of education in regards to health, I want to further my study in children and women's health. And with that behind me, I want to go over to the world countries and educate women and children's health. And I think that's what God is challenging me to do at the moment. And so I guess with that behind me, and I could go out there and do God's work. Yeah.
Roger, would you like to come forward?
Before we left the dormitory, two of the children gave us these for the church here. I'll just put the mic down.
To have them, to hang them up, and to remember them so that we don't forget them. The boy who did this, he is the one that that was shared. He wants to be a pastor doctor, and he's the number one student in the entire province. And he won a national artwork award last year. And the girl who did this, her name's Mo, and for us this is particularly special because Mo's sister lived with us when we were in Thailand and we were her guardian, and now Mo is at the dormitory and she's the number one student at the school. So for us it was wonderful to see these kids achieving so well academically. So we give them to you, Roger.
Proceed with much thanks, and I think what I'll do is ask you to write a short paragraph, what you've just shared, and we'll mount these somewhere with the story underneath them. Hasn't it been a fantastic morning? And this is just the beginning, as we've heard from Meng and for Alex and for all of you. It's just the beginning. And there are other groups going to go to other parts of the world, even this year and next year. And I tell you, I'm excited about what God's going to do through Southside in the next decade. Who knows what God could do? So thank you, Scott and Chrissy, for leading the group. Let's just show our appreciation.